Today I want to speak about our choice to be strong. You know, it's important. I had these thoughts from maybe a few months ago before we went to our vacation and wanted to speak about it. But it is always a few topics about what we can speak about. You know, and I believe that now at home came time. We will start with one verse from the Bible. It's written in Psalm number 68. And I especially took, you know, this old version of Norwegian Bible because it is the same like with English version of King James Bible. The theologians say that it is the most kind of, it's the best version of the Bible because the meaning of the Bible is not lost. So when I checked the different translation, this one was the best. So it's from 1930, just imagine. And written probably on some old Norwegian language. Your God has ordained strength for you. Established, O God, what you have done for us. I'll just drink a little, sorry. I just need it, you know, as a Holy Spirit. So it is written that God has ordained strength for you. And then David is writing that, establish, O God, what you have done for us. You know, it is interesting to understand that God, you know, he prepared for us strength. You know, I think that I already shared once some of the thoughts about it when we were gathering in the Jøvik Centrum. Approximately some thoughts will be the same, but together with you, I want just to develop this idea. So when we were gathering there in the Centrum of Jøvik, it was... What's the name of the city? It was Storgata 9, I think, yeah. It was the address. So if today people, because we are Centrum Church, so if today people will ask you where is the center of the city, send them to us here. Yeah, we are building the center of the city here. Yes. Yeah, we are Centrum Church, you know. So when I think about that God commanded or ordained strength for us, then to my heart comes the story, it's biblical story, which is written, it is written in 4th Moses book. It is story about the Israelites in the desert, the people of God in the desert, and about the Balak, the king of Moabites, who was afraid that Israelites as a beginning nation, as a people of God, because they were conquering new territories, and this Balak, king of Moabites, he was afraid that Israelites will take over his kingdom. So what this Balak did, he invited Balaam. Maybe most of you probably, if you read the Bible, you remember this story. Balaam, he was a non-Israelite, and he was seer or a prophet. You know, and that's also interesting question, how non-Israelites, not a member of the people of God, but he lived in Mesopotamia. He was a seer or a prophet. Yeah, how this man, he was anointed by God, or he found a contact with God, built relationships with God, and he was able to speak the words of God to the people. So what this Balak king did, he invited this prophet or seer to curse the people of God, the Israelites, so that the power of God which was on them would not work anymore. So he invited him. He said that I will pay you any kind of money. I will give you a lot of gifts. And this Balak, he said, okay, I will come to you and we'll see what God will do. So, and the story says that 3 times this Balaam, the prophet, he was going up to the mountain. building some place to prepare the sacrifice for God, and tried to curse the people of God because they were there in a land. It was possible to see them how they lived there. And interesting that every time when he wanted to curse them, when he wanted to speak the bad words to take their victory from them, the promises of God from them, he was not able. And I just prepared some words from the Bible, what actually God did, every time he tried to curse the people of God, that's what God was saying there. In the first case, it is written in 4th Moses book 22:12. God says to him, "You must not go with them. You must not curse the people, for they are blessed." Second thing that then they went to another hill, and built another place to bring the sacrifice and brought the sacrifice. And he was ready to curse them from the other kind of position. But God again he said, "How can I curse one of whom," or this prophet said, "How can I curse one of whom God has not cursed? Or how can I denounce one whom the Lord has not denounced?" And the third time, they went again on another hill or the mountain, and it was exactly the same. He tried to curse. He tried to take away the protection of God from the people of God, but it was exactly the same. It is written, "Indeed, I have received a command from God to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it." So story of these Balaam and Balak and Israelites, the blessed people of God in the wilderness, said that no matter what other people wanted to do bad for the people of God, they could do nothing. Even, the people who had some kind of spiritual abilities, this Balaam, he was not Israelite, and but still he was a seer and he was kind of prophet. He had access to the spiritual realm, and even him, no matter what he wanted, he couldn't do anything to the people of God. So we understand that on the people of God it was full protection. And nobody among the enemies could do anything to the people of God, because God was with them. It is a fact. And now I want to read you another story. It is written in Psalm number 137, from 1st till 4th verse. Another story about the same people of God. "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept, when we remembered Zion. On the willows in her midst we hang our harps," it is musical instruments, "for there our captors, the Babylonians, them who carried us away captive, asked us to sing the songs. Those who mock us demand us so we could be happy, saying, 'Sing for us a song about Zion.' How can we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land as captives?" Interesting thing. Exactly the same people of God, but totally different condition. What a contrast. What a big change. We started our meeting with this promise of God, and we read, the truth of God, which really works. It is biblical truth and promise about that God has ordained us as the believers the strength. And how sad knowing that God intended you strength to find yourself in a state of the weakness. State of confusion in a despair. If we speak about this condition of the people of Israel in Babylon as a slaves, as a captives, They write that there by the rivers of Babylon in a foreign land, we sat down and wept. And then they say that we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. You know, it is, maybe some of you experience about similar situation that they sat and wept in the by the rivers of Babylon when they remembered things that were behind them. How good it was. Because Zion, it was spiritual center. Zion, it is the mountain on which was established and built the temple of God. Zion was kind of image of the real presence of God for God's people, you know. Even, you know, in the Old Testament, we read that God says to the people of God that no matter where you will go in the whole world, you can turn to the Mount of Zion and speak your prayers. Interesting thing, you know. What a contrast. As a spoiler, I can say that, you know, this message today, it was inspired by my own experience. I once listened, you know, one interesting program, one very well-known movie director, he was speaking about how the artists or the movie directors, they create the movies, or how, you know, different kinds of artists, they are engaged in the process of creativity. And he said one interesting and very right thought. He said that every work of art is either a preaching of an idea that you want to bring to the people, either or it is a confession. And it is very biblical principle, you know. Jesus said exactly the same. No matter what you speak, you know, it comes from your heart. Because from heart we live. The people, everyone, no matter believe you God, you don't believe God, you live as you believe. Everything that comes to your lips, to your mouth, come from your heart. Yeah. So today it will be my confession. Yeah. I was saved. My story, so many of you already know my story, how I came to God, but I came to rehabilitation center for the treatment, and it was Christian rehabilitation center, and I became a believer. My life changed, you know. If you, most of you, you definitely have this experience, you know, of you know difference of the condition of the heart when you don't believe God, you know, or life without God, and the condition when God comes to life. First, you know, it is salvation. It is a lot of joy. We really experience the joy of salvation. Everything, you know, all the life before it was gray, now it started to be colorful. It is relationships with God. You know, you get revelation. You really, indeed, you free. You feel the freedom in your heart from different kind of things and addictions. Then, you know, as a part of the program, my spiritual father, he was teaching a lot about close relationships with God. You know, it is very simple teaching that if you want your life to be really changed, and if you want your life to be really powerful, then it is very important to build the relationships with Him who created the life, who gave you the life. So it is very simple principles that in the morning, first thing you do, you go to your prayer room and you spend time with God one-on-one in prayer. You speak to God from your heart what's happening there, and you receive some thoughts back from God, some ideas. You read the Bible and you let the Bible teach you, you know. You let the Holy Spirit through the Bible teach you to how you should, you know, what kind of life you should have. So it was, you know, I got this experience of life with God, experience of voice of God. It is also very important thing, you know. If before I met God, I didn't have this as about Holy Spirit. It is written that He is our teacher and He is our good counsel, a wise counselor. That He can give you good counsels, what kind of choices you should make in your life, and how you should live. It was changing my life very much. And plus, in addition, it was the love of God which was indeed truly healing my heart. All the wounds that I had from my former life, you know, how God was healing one after another, healing my heart. But you know, after my program, kind of rehabilitation, I stayed in the center as a minister. And it was amazing, you know. When you learn yourself from God, you know, it is very good to share with the others, to bring the message of salvation to the others. And I really enjoyed it. So we were serving people. In our center, it was about 25 people all the time, 20 people. And we had 4 different centers in Estonia. So I was driving often from one center to another. And we lived together with the people. In fact, I lived with 8 other guys who needed help in one room, you know. So it was almost like an army. And I stayed there for 10 years of my life, serving the people and helping people to get the freedom. And it was interesting. It was amazing. But I remember, as a part of my experience there, one day I found myself, you know, I found myself in another condition. Oopsie poopsie, somebody have telephone. I can dance a little here. No? Yeah, then maybe I should speak some inspirational speech, you know, as usually. We are new people in God, you know. God saves. Yeah, it is the power in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Yeah, but one day, you know, it happened, the transition. It happened, the change. And I remember clearly, that's what I basically want to share today. I found myself in totally other condition. You know, I found myself, I can say that I kind of lost the whole vision. I lost the whole reason why I'm there. You know, I lost my mission. And when I was thinking about it, it's basically was 3 different reasons why it happened. Reason number one, I remember that God gave me one idea that I should kind of do. And then because of the fear in my heart, I didn't go for it. You know, my heart, I remember that when I got this idea, what can I do? But shortly I can say that it was the youth work, you know, at the church. And then I needed to leave the rehabilitation center where I served among my brothers, among my spiritual leaders, and go to my city where I'm from and conduct the youth meeting, youth work there, because I was invited there by my pastor. And then, you know, I remember when I shared this idea with the brothers in rehabilitation center, they were not happy about it, because I was good and reliable worker. And, you know, then I start to remember this story about David. You remember when it was situation with Israelites and Goliath, who was challenging them, that choose among you one warrior and we will have a battle. We will fight, and whom will win, the losers will be slaves to the other people. And then when David came to the battlefield and heard the Goliath, when he heard Goliath, he said that, who is this pagan, not circumcised, who speaks so bad words about the people of God? And then he said that, I can go and take his, you know, win him. And then it is written that when his brothers heard this situation, then they said that, we know who are you, and we know your evil heart. You came to seek for benefit for yourself. And you know, if we compare my situation Then I was afraid, and I listened to my brothers. And if we compare my situation with situation of David, then David, he didn't start to listen to them. You know, now already, because I went through this experience, I understand what should I do then, you know. But now I'm, and now I can kind of analyze what happened then. But then it was just situation. And I remember when I shared it with the brothers, they started to speak that you will come back to your old life and everything will be bad, you will not succeed, it's definitely from the devil, and so on and so on. You know, and I believed them. And these thoughts that I had about the ministry I should do, and I remember how I got this idea. My heart was burning so much. I was laying in the bed when others were sleeping, and I was thinking about it. I was getting new and new ideas. What should I do? You know, it was burning in my heart so much. But I heard, listened to the fear, and I didn't go for it. Another reason why it happened with me, it is that there were some questions that needed to be discussed in our ministry. I saw some mistakes that we, together with the leaders, we were doing in the ministry. And I, again, because of my fear, I was afraid to openly discuss them. Because I was afraid of authority of my elder brothers. I was the youngest, you know, they were almost twice older than me. And then I locked myself against speaking about it openly, and it was, you know, something was paining in my heart. Third reason was, you know, the ability of different teachings. I remember when I started to read the Bible first, and I read it quite a lot, really. Every day, you know, maybe 3-4 times, and I went deep to it, Old Testament, New Testament, in periods of 10 years, you know. Then when I read the Bible, everything was quite clear. What is true? What is the false teaching? What is the truth? What is the lies? But when I started to, you know, to read different books and teachers, it was a lot of difference, you know, teachers. Then they were sharing different opinions also, different translations or different, you know, meanings of the Bible. And I remember I found myself in this condition when I started to doubt what is truth and what is, you know, lies. And it is just three reasons that were in my personal life and in my personal situation. But I understand that, you know, it can be different reasons in the lives of the people to find yourself in this condition of despair. When you simply lost your vision, when you simply lost your relationships with God. In fact, you know, all these three things, they now, because I went through this experience, I can analyze what really happened. But then I was just in the middle of everything and I was struggling. You know, in fact, all these three things, they affected a lot, you know, my relationships with God. I stopped to go to my prayer room and build relationships with God to pray. I stopped to read the Bible because something was blocking me against it, you know. And then I still kind of, I'm in the ministry. You know, I've served the people, and sometimes I preach even, you know. Not sometimes, maybe once or twice a week. But inside me, something was paining and something was dying very much. So if we speak about this, you know, that God commanded you strength and you know it, but you find suddenly, somehow, you find yourself in totally different position and different condition of heart. As I understand now, there can be different states in which a believer can be. One is the active position. You often go against the flow of the world, but you are not alone. You are together with God. You are the change maker. You are the style bender. And it's when the presence of Lord, in the presence of Lord with His guidance, you take the situation under control. You seek the truth and will of God, and you practically bring it to life. So you understand, yeah, that one condition of heart of a believer can be the active part, you know, or active position. When you seek God, you seek the truth, and you are active in life, and you bring the truth of God to the life. The second is to go with the flow of life, to choose for yourself a passive position of an observer of everything that happens. With this position, you always have feelings that you are lost, empty, don't have a goal, reason, don't know your mission, don't feel stability. You drive through the life like a thief in a stolen car, struggling and surviving day after day. You don't know the right direction for your future. You do not enjoy your presence and you do not get some ideas. And if you get some ideas, you are afraid to make any steps. It's hard to move forward. And the third condition, we will not even discuss it, because it's when you just simply finally turn back to God, and it grows out from the second condition. You know? Did you think, you know, about the power of the fear? How many people it has stopped from doing something important, from fulfilling their calling? God changes, good changes that were supposed to come didn't happen due to the fear of changing of something. I read one interesting book, and it is written in Orthodox Bible. This book is named the Sirax Bible in Norwegian, because in Orthodox Bible you can find few more books which are not included to this ordinary Bible. You know, because due to they're very much simple. This book is very much simple with this Solomon's book, and that's why they didn't include it to the ordinary Bible. But about the fear, it is very interesting thought is written there. Fear is the lack of help from the reason. The less hope you have inside, the scarier is the picture of what produced torment. Simply, the fear is the lack of help from your own mind. It is when you do not see a logical solution for your situation. And the fear makes us to do the stupid things, make us to do rash steps, and fear makes you behave unnaturally. You know, it is exactly the condition that I find myself in. That because of the fear, I stuck. I lost the whole vision of the life. You know, why I'm doing what I'm doing? Why I'm here? What is my mission? You know, all these questions. You know, it's interesting that God, he put himself in a position to our fears. It is written in Lamentation of Jeremiah. You came near on the day I called to you, Jeremiah speaks to the Lord, and you said, do not fear. O Lord, you championed my cause, you redeemed my life. You know, finally, what was encounter of my life then in this kind of situation, that I remember one day I came to Tallinn, to my city, and we had adaptation center there. And there live and work my spiritual father. He was also director of one of the centers. The man who taught me a lot about the personal relationships with God. And I remember because the spiritual people, they have a senses, and they can see the condition of your heart, really, what's happening there, you know, and then they can ask different questions. So he didn't speak so much, he spoke just a little shortly, and he said that, Kirill, what you really need now is to renew or restore your relationships with God. And it was the right signal for me. I remember it was early morning when everybody was sleeping in this building. It's quite a big building, former kindergarten. It is one big room which we used for the gatherings as a church. And I came there about 5 o'clock in the morning. The other guys, they were standing up about 7. And I had my conversation with God. And it was so important for me. I remember I was standing on my knees about 40 minutes, 1 hour, and just praying in tongues and praying to God, opening my heart, what's happened. And then God touched me really, you know. From this situation, from this moment, the restoration came, step by step, little by little. One pastor, he's American living in Russia, Rick Renner, he says that if fear begins to overcome you, let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit guard your mind, and then the absurd, baseless, crazy thoughts that previously tried to take possession of your mind will not be able to influence your logical reasoning and emotions. You know, when we found ourselves in the condition of despair, one thing is very important to understand, that God, He put Himself in a, you know, in opposition to our fear. Every time, you can check it your Bible. If you have telephone, it's even easier. You know, you can just write one word, do not fear, and check how many times in the Bible. In my Bible, it immediately finds 77 times, you know, in this Russian Orthodox Bible. It's 77 times when God said, do not fear. And you can read about different situations when God actually was speaking that. And you can understand clearly that God put Himself in a position to all our fears. And the people just going to the situation and condition of fear by themselves. So it's very important when we are under kind of attack that we go to the Bible and we let the Word of God together with the Holy Spirit to heal our heart. You know, a few days ago, I'm working in Gjøvik, and Ida visited me at the work. I had an interesting experience. When we were driving home, you know, by the Sese shopping center, down to the lake, and we are living in Red Island, so we needed to turn towards Lillehammer or Biri. And I saw that when I was driving down the road, I saw a very beautiful rainbow. There, where is this the garage for Skibladner, for this boat? Over it was just shining wonderful, beautiful rainbow. Of course, it was a bit cloudy and rain. It's not possible to have rainbow without it, you know, the physical laws. But it was so beautiful, and I was just, wow, it's interesting. And of course, the rainbow, you know that it is a biblical, it is sign of God, you know. It happened after the flood. That God gave this promise to Noah that it will be a sign among me, God, and you, the man, that there will be no flood anymore in the earth. So every time you see it, it's promise of God. So rainbow, when I see the rainbow, it remind me about something. It remind me about God. And I remember that I was driving and I saw this rainbow, and then I turned. Ida was driving first, I was driving after. We were speaking with her on the phone. And then I just lost my concentration. I didn't see any rainbows. And almost where we have our turn to the Red Island, you know, I turned to the right, and then I suddenly saw this rainbow again. The same rainbow, so beautiful, you know, because when you drive on your right side, it is a lot of trees and things that just cover the whole view from you. But when I turned and saw the view, the rainbow still was there. You know, and then I started to think about this. That, you know, often it is not God, as Hege was praying in the beginning of the meeting, who hide himself or who disappears somewhere. Very often it is our own focus of life, which is, you know, turning off away from God. And we start to see different things, and we can find ourselves finally in different condition. But when we turn back to God, the rainbow is still there, you know. And the last thing that I want to share is that your personal relationships with God, and it's very important thought now, your personal relationships with God will always affect your surroundings. Last Friday we had a very good conversation, you know, in Marita, in our center, in our shop, because before we start to work with our volunteers, you know that we opened the shop with the cafe, where we conduct the shop work, when we conduct the business, and we conduct the spiritual and social work in the city, in Jövik, Sturgata Ote, who haven't been there, welcome. A lot of cheap, very good things, and yeah, I used the possibility to share the advertisement here. Yeah, I'm paid for it. But it's interesting that before we start to work, we always have a meeting with our people. And most of them, they are not a Christian, not a believer. And we have a prayer. So as both of us, as Marita Stiftelsen and as a New Start in East Mission, we are both Christian organizations. And we established kind of rule that we share the gospel with the people and we pray. So all the people who come to our gatherings and our volunteers, they found themselves in the middle of the prayer. But it was very interesting message then, that word is a power. You know, God used word to create everything that we see. But the same word from our own mouth, it can be used to create some things, to share the vision, to share the salvation. Or the same mouth can be used as the weapon to put down the people or destroy the relationships and speak badly to destroy something. So our own relationships with God would definitely affect the people around. I have just one simple example, you know, it is the example of David, the king. We know him as a person who had very good relationships with God. And God take him for the kingdom from, he was a shepherd. The youngest in the family, without any perspective. He wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the strongest, but his strength was in the close personal relationships with God. And God found him to put himself for the kingdom. And, you know, interesting that when he was persecuted by a real king who was there, the king, Saul, then David needed to run away. And then I will just show you two parts of the scriptures. One is written in 1 Samuel 22:2. It is written about David's team, you know. It is written whom came to David. It's written, all those who were in trouble or owed someone money or were discounted gathered around him, and he became their leader. He had about 400 men with him. You know, so you understand the king, you know, or the person who will become a king, and his team. It was not the best people, not the smartest, in fact, it was the miserablest people among all the people of Israel who run to him and stick to him. And second verse that I want to share with you, it is written in 1 Chronicles 12:21. It is written about the same people. It is written, they helped David to fight against raiding bands, for all of them were brave warriors and leaders in the army. You understand what the words can do? You understand what real relationships with God in your personal life can do in your surroundings? It will lift people up. It will take the miserablest, the weakest, and it will restore and build people up so they will become the leaders of society. Exactly the same I see in the situation of Jesus with his disciples. He took just, you know, you, and they were different. You know, and we see through the Gospels, through the four book of Gospels, we see a lot of their weaknesses. But finally, after the day of Pentecost, they became leaders who brought the gospel till the end of the world. And this reformation, which happened then, you know, all the laws of democracy, we can say, they came out from Jesus' heart to his disciples. We are ending now, so worshippers can come up to the stage. I took a little bit more time than I supposed to. I'm sorry. We started our meeting today with these words from the scriptures. Your God has commanded or has ordained strength for you. Establish, O God, what you have done for us. You know, it is written in Psalm, maybe you can play, start to play. Yeah. Chill. Yeah. I want to ask you to play, please. Yeah. It is written in the Psalm number 68:29. In the same Psalm, I can read one more interesting verse that is written in verse number 18 and 19. I will use this old King James version because it brings the most clear picture of what it is written there. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts for men. In the same psalm it is written. You know what's interesting? That the same verse Paul later used in Ephesians 4:8. It is written that therefore it says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he captured the captives and he gave gifts to men. You know, and then later it is written that your God has commanded your strength. Establish, God, what you have done for us. So if I can understand, you know, or if I can say that Jesus, he was on the earth and he had some struggles on the earth, but finally he won. And it is written that he ascended to the heaven and then he made the captives free. So it is he took the captives and made them free. And then he received the gifts. And in Ephesians it's written, he received the gifts for the men. So, and I understand that he just received the gifts and give it to the men. And he received the gifts and give it to the men. And later in the same chapter of Ephesians, it is written that, and God made among you, one of you, he made apostles, one of you prophets, one of you teachers, evangelists, changers of society, style benders, game changers. You know, he gave all this to you. So we understand that sometimes in our life we can find ourselves in the condition of the people in the Babylon when they sat down and wept. But this is part of experience. You know, the healing process in my life and common things, the things that came afterwards, they show that God didn't finish with you. It's not the end, it's just the beginning, believe me. The process of healing that God still wants to do in your life already happened. And in the beginning of meeting, this verse came also to my phone, to the app, that God will tear every kind of crying from their eyes. And there will be no death and no mourn, no weeping, no sickness, because old things has passed away. So just receive these words to your life now in the name of Jesus. Amen.